when the baby is first born, there's something called the golden hour. It's right when the baby's born, baby comes up, put baby on your chest, and it's like bare necked baby, bare necked mom's chest. And the baby just gets to lay there, and they go through 9 stages, and ultimately they start exploring mom's chest, and then they can find the nipple and they can self-latch. Baby's having that bonding experience with mom in that first hour is just incredible. To me, there's not enough words to even describe like how amazing it is.
Are you done with being that pregnant or postpartum mom in the gym who is always stuck on the sidelines feeling horrible, saying, "How come no one ever told me this?" Are you ready to finally say no to a mom life filled with excess weight, injury, overwhelm, and fatigue? Then help is here. Welcome to the Strong Moms Fitness Podcast, where we dive deep into the information you need to be the strongest woman in and out of the gym, even if you are a mom. If you are done going through your pregnancy or postpartum fitness journey clueless and unprepared, if you are ready to commit and say yes to being that badass fit mom who is shredded and stronger than before the baby, well, listen up. Because this is where we talk about all of the things your doctor or trainer never told you about, so that you can achieve the body you want and take your athletic strength and performance to the next level. Get ready, because here's your host, Daisy Bravo.
Well, hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Strong Moms Fitness Podcast. And today we are talking about all things lactation and even health and fitness when it comes to lactation. I know that is not talked about a lot. So I'm just going to jump right in and introduce our guests, and then we'll get the ball rolling. I don't want to waste any time, because Shay is a certified lactation counselor who empowers new moms to bond with their babies through breastfeeding by giving them the tools they really need to navigate the physical changes and emotional struggles. Having experience as a pediatric ICU nurse, Shay thought breastfeeding her own children would be relatively easy and would come naturally. But when she left the hospital with cracked and bleeding nipples, even after receiving help from a lactation specialist, she knew something wasn't right and needed the best help she could find. So thanks to her breastfeeding mindset and incredible lactation consultant, she overcame many obstacles in her breastfeeding journey and was able to breastfeed both girls until they were at least 2 years old. And now Shay is taking her experience with breastfeeding and helping other women. So I was really excited to have her on the Strong Moms Fitness Podcast. We're going to jump right in and chat with Shay. Shay, I want to welcome you today to the Strong Moms Fitness Podcast. I'd like you just to jump in and tell everyone who you are, what you do, and how did you get into being a lactation specialist?
Hey, Daisy, thank you so much for having me on your podcast today. I'm super excited to be here and share all things breastfeeding. I was a pediatric ICU nurse up until 2017, and I had my first daughter. And when we left the hospital with her, I left with cracked and bleeding nipples. Even though I had seen lactation support in the hospital, and I really thought like I was getting help, and they didn't really say anything was going on, and just minor, just whatever. And I was just like, okay, but this hurts so bad. It just felt like I had like shards of glass, to be frank, and very explaining it exactly how it felt, shards of glass like coming through my nipples. And so the next day called my doula. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so much pain. Like, I don't know if I can do this. And so she said, call this lactation consultant. I'm like, okay, I'll do whatever I need to do. Called her. That lady was, her name's Anne. So if you hear me refer to Anne, that's who it is. But she was a godsend to us. So she came out and we did all the breastfeeding support and everything. And fast forwarding just a little bit up until my daughter was about 4 months old, I was like, man, I was working as a pediatric ICU nurse. I'm like, oh man, I would really love to help women and new moms breastfeed, learn to breastfeed and work through everything the way that Aunt just helped me. Like it was just like so incredible. And just thinking back to that moment, I can almost remember when I was having that thought, like, I'm going to do this one day. So I didn't know when. And I thought, my kids are small. Now I have a 5-year-old, she's 5 now, and a 2.5-year-old. And I'm like, when my kids get a little bit older, I'll become a lactation consultant. Not right now. Things just happened. I think things kind of happen for a lot of people in 2020 with COVID and everything. And I ended up starting a business, and it just like domino effect. And I just fell into, hey, I'm going to become a lactation consultant. Like, now's my time. And I just am so excited. So technically I'm a certified lactation counselor, and I am working on my clinical hours for a board certified lactation consultant. There's not much of a scope of practice difference. It's really just like the clinical hour difference from a lactation counselor to a lactation consultant.
Very awesome. That is definitely needed. And I know there's not enough education that's given before first-time moms to go home. I just want to start out with some benefits to breastfeeding versus like formula feeding, and why we should maybe strive for breastfeeding.
Yep. So really, I love to focus on and emphasize the bond that you get with your baby. There's so many different benefits. So my big thing is like when the baby is first born, there's something called the golden hour. So I'm sure some of your audience has heard of the golden hour. So it's right when the baby's born, and vaginal or C-section, if you're having a C-section, you just have to talk with your provider about this, but vaginally, the baby comes out. Put baby on your chest, and it's like bare naked baby, bare naked mom's chest. Sometimes they have a bra on or something like that. And the baby just gets to lay there, and it's so cool. They be just a little bit technical. They go through like these 9 stages, and ultimately they start exploring mom's chest, and then they can just find the nipple and they can self-latch. And I really think, and I've seen this so far just in my short time in the lactation world, babies having that bonding experience with mom in that first hour is just, it's incredible. There's not enough words to even describe like how amazing it is. And obviously bonding is a huge thing. And moms can do skin to skin throughout any time when baby's little and baby wants to do it. There's so many different ways that you can use skin as that bonding time and to just comfort baby. And because that's what they're used to. They're used to being in utero and hearing mom's heartbeat and, you know, feeling her warmth. And it's just very comforting for them. So that's a huge thing that I love to speak about and share about is the bonding. Then, of course, there's also the actual makeup of the breast milk. There's antibodies, all kinds of different nutrients. And I'm sure you've seen floating around the internet sometimes. So there's different colored like milk from when like baby's healthy to when baby's sick. So mom's body, based on baby's saliva, like really adjust the different things within the milk to provide like what's best for the baby. So of course, that's another huge benefit is the nutrients. A lot of formula companies will say it's just like breast milk, and it's not. There's no way that, you know, the breast milk, you know, that you make versus the breast milk that I make is completely different. Whereas like formula, it's all made the same, and it has all the same nutrients in it. And it's really based on volume versus breast milk. Once they get up to, you know, maybe around 6 months of age and they're taking 4 to 6 ounces of breast milk, like that's pretty much the only volume that they're really going to need like the whole time. That the volume's not going to keep increasing. It's really the nutrients is what's going to change in the breast milk. Those are the two most important things that make breast milk more beneficial than formula.
That's great. And so for moms that can't breastfeed, do you recommend that moms that can't breastfeed look for milk donors, or should they stay with formula? What does that process involve? And are there some standards or criteria to make sure that if you get milk from a donor or something, that there's some like quality assurance going on with the breast milk?
Absolutely. So I would say that if a mom is not comfortable giving their baby donor milk, that's totally okay. Please feed your baby formula for sure. We want to make sure that the baby is getting fed. But if you do want to go the donor milk route, I think that's incredible. A lot of people will, you know, say, oh, there's these Facebook groups and all that other stuff. I don't really recommend that because just because it's the whole thing, just because you see it on the internet doesn't mean it's true kind of thing. So just because someone says, oh, I don't smoke, or I don't take this, or I don't take that, they haven't been through the full testing, you know, that when you go to an official milk bank, the people on Facebook have not been through all that testing as they have on in a milk bank. So I would definitely recommend you going to a milk bank. A lot of times they don't actually charge moms. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It just depends on your milk bank. And if your baby's in the NICU, maybe if your baby didn't get to come home with you from the hospital, they also do donor milk in the NICU. So just as mom's pumping, let's say she's not producing enough while her baby's in the NICU, she can also request donor milk from there too. So that's like a little side note. Just sometimes a lot of moms don't know that when their baby is in the NICU, they actually can request to have donor milk as well.
That's very fascinating. I've always wondered about that. So thank you for sharing on that. And so here's another like totally random question. Are there things that women can do in like the third trimester to help prepare the body for lactation? I know the body obviously does that naturally with hormones, but is there something that we can do to help this and make this process a little bit better?
So the short answer is no, because when you still have the baby in your belly and you still have the placenta, that the hormone prolactin is what makes milk, prolactation. That's just an easy way to remember. And when you still have the placenta, the receptor sites for prolactin are blocked and you can't do anything about it. And so now it's a touchy subject, and I was debating whether I wanted to mention this or not. If you are past 40 weeks and you have spoken with your provider, you may be able to pump a little bit, and you would only pump out colostrum. And so what's interesting is as progesterone is leaving from after the placenta is born, as progesterone is leaving your body and your receptor sites, prolactin is actually coming in and taking over those sites. And so that's why we have colostrum for the first few days, and then it transitions what we basically know as breast milk. And so that's why it takes a couple of days for your milk to come in, because you have the pregnancy and the placental hormones leaving, and then you have the breastfeeding, you know, prolactin and the milk hormones coming in and taking over. And there really isn't anything you can do to prepare your body. This is a huge thing. And I was even recommended this, and my daughter's only 5 years old. Someone told me, and it was a provider that I respect pretty well. And she said, just when you're in the shower, take a really rough rag and just toughen up your nipples. That'll make it like so much better. Negative. It does not work like that. And besides, most moms, when they're in the last few weeks, like their nipples are so sensitive anyways, from all the hormonal changes, don't nobody want to rub a tough rag on their nipples. Like that like makes my nipples hurt just thinking about it. So really, no, it really is just about preparing for, you want to breastfeed, let's make sure you get lactation support. Go ahead and start interviewing and looking for lactation counselors or a lactation consultant in your area, so that you can like have them ready and like on standby, on speed dial for when baby's born and you're having these problems and you really need this help. You can call your lactation counselor or your lactation consultant right quick and say, this is what's going on. I really need your help. I really need to come see you. That's really how I believe you can prepare the best for breastfeeding. There's not a whole lot you can do for your body.
Love that. That's pretty cool. What are some of the ways women can get breastfeeding off to a great start? You mentioned getting those providers all set up in your personal network. What other things can we do to get that breastfeeding off to a good start?
So I love talking about this, of course, but I think that it's, and this kind of, just like you said, this goes right into exactly what we were saying, getting that lactation support and having that lined up. And I'll just share this little quick story with you right quick, because I think it's just so important and it really emphasizes like how awesome that is. So with my first daughter, I told you the story, we didn't have the lactation support lined up because I didn't know what I didn't know. With my second daughter, we actually called Anne and said, hey, we're having baby number two. Like, I really want to get off to a better start because I didn't with my first daughter. And what do you recommend we do? And Anne recommended we start with the skin to skin, which we talked about with that golden hour, and just really spending time like bonding with your baby. And then we worked on like different positions, and there's so many different positions. There's football, there's cradle, there's cross cradle. We could get technical, and it would be hard over the audio interview to actually discuss those. But, and then there's also, once baby's born, you've done the bonding and stuff, then finding like what position works for you. And then I just use regular pillows to get comfortable. There's different kinds of breastfeeding pillows out there. I just found that with regular pillows, it was like, I was able to customize it and make it work for myself and for my baby and what worked for us. And just having those couple of little tidbits, the skin to skin, the latching, the regular pillows, and then just having like my pump, which you don't need initially, but just having my pump and just my breastfeeding like supplies set up and nearby, I think that would really help you get off to a great start with breastfeeding.
Cool. Very helpful. Thank you. And what are some tips to help with latching on those first few days?
Yes. So using whatever pillow is going to make you comfortable. And it's, if mom is hunched over and she's tense and she's like, an, especially if she's having pain, which I always remind moms, like, pain may be common, but it's not normal. It is not normal to have pain. Maybe like some slight soreness, especially if you're a first-time mom, because when baby first latches, you're not used to having something attached to your nipples, like drinking milk out of it. So pain is common, but it's not normal. And like I was saying, if mom is hunched over or she's tensed up, like anticipating that uncomfortable latch, that's going to make it even more difficult. And so really just finding like a comfortable position, whether that's in a recliner, your bed, whatever it is that works for you, you might have to play around with it a little bit, just finding a comfortable position and then making sure that when, as you're putting baby to breast, making sure that baby's nose, like their nose basically touches your nipple. And when baby's nose does that, their mouth will open up really wide. When they do that, you can just push baby on really quick, push baby onto the breast. And the thing is with that is it's called breastfeeding and not nipple feeding. And so once you get baby on, if it feels like it's pinching or it's hurting, it doesn't feel comfortable, try to gently like unlatch baby. Don't just pull baby off. You stick your finger. If you're on YouTube, you might be able to see, but if you're on the podcast, you can't see. Stick your finger in there and just gently get baby to unlatch and then try it again. But it's so important to make sure baby has a really wide mouth so that you can really get the nipple and the breast tissue inside of their mouth. And what happens is the nipple goes far back in their mouth, and it's not like between their gums or like this, the hard palate, as we call it. It's like far back, and the baby not only can feed more efficiently that way, but it's so much more comfortable for mom. And then the last thing I want to speak about on that is swallow. You really want to watch baby swallows. And so what that looks like is they're swallowing, and it all of a sudden, like their chin and their jaw will drop down a little bit longer. And it's like a longer swallow, or like a longer, I don't know, I can't think of the word. Their chin drops down, and it's like a longer pause, basically. And that's because they're getting like a mouthful of milk and then they can swallow it. So watching for the swallows, making sure you're in a comfortable position, not tensed up. If you're experiencing pain, getting help. I think those are some good tips to really work with the awesome latching.
No kidding. And so how can a mom know and trust that her baby is actually getting enough milk? How do we know? Because obviously we can't visually see how much they're intaking.
Right. Yep. So the most important thing is, well, the most important two things really to watch for is their poops, like how many poops they're having a day, and then their weight gain. So which their weight gain is going to be monitored by the pediatrician, or if you're seeing a lactation consultant or lactation counselor, they're going to be able to monitor the weight gain as well. And so by day four, you're really going to want to make sure the baby is having at least four poops a day. And by that point, it should be turning, like everyone talks about, that yellow seedy color. That's what it should be turning to. It's almost like a mustardish kind of color. So hopefully nobody's eating when they're listening to this. But anyways, that's the most important thing to watch for, because at home, you don't have the scale. You can go to your lactation counselor, your lactation consultant, and they can do a weighted feed. And that process looks like you would go in, weigh your baby, feed, and then you'd weigh baby again. And then you can see on average how much baby is taking. But just because for that feed, baby only took an ounce and a half, it doesn't mean that the next feed baby isn't going to take 2.5 ounces. So it really just depends on the time of the day. And so that's really just an average when you go and do a weighted feed, but it does give like an overall picture. And so that's why we always let moms know, keep track, find an app that works for you or in your notes tab on your phone or whatever, how many poops per day that your baby is having. And if baby is not pooping, especially 4 poops by day 4, and then thereafter should be multiple poops a day, then bring that up to your pediatrician.
Very cool. Now, is there some sort of correlation between how much babies are getting in relation to the time that they're at the breast? Is there some relation to that? Should we aim for a certain time? Does that even make sense as a question?
It does make sense. No.
Okay.
So really, you shouldn't time baby's feeds. It's interesting, and there's a whole lot that kind of goes into this explanation, but really it could be anywhere from 5 minutes to, I'd probably say, max about 20-ish minutes on one side, and that's a long time. 20 minutes on one side is a long time. When they're first learning and baby's brain week, 2 weeks old, and you guys are getting breastfeeding established, then okay, that might make a little bit of sense, but still, you might just want to make sure if they're spending 20 minutes on one breast, you might want to make sure that your latch is optimal by getting breastfeeding support. And so really, like I said, there's just a range of time, and it depends on how sleepy baby is. When was the last feeding? There's so many different things that go into it, but really we should be watching baby's feeding cues and not watching the clock and like, oh, it's been 2 hours, I better go wake my baby up and feed him again. They don't work like that. If only it were that simple, but it is not. They will definitely tell us by their feeding cues when they're ready to eat next.
Nice. Love that. I appreciate that. It's very helpful.
Of course.
Now,
of course.
In this whole thing, and when should a mom like actually start to seek out some support when they're struggling? What are some of the signs that we need to add on a support system?
Yeah. So my biggest recommendation, of course, is in the prenatal period, just a few weeks or even halfway through your pregnancy, if you're having to do a little bit of research on finding someone that you jive with and that you feel like you guys align. So really the prenatal period can really get you set up well to have your lactation support in line. But let's say you haven't done that, and that's okay. You can reach out as soon as you're And I think back to my story, as soon as you're having things that you know and that you feel like, because there really is a such thing as mom intuition, we really do know when something's not right. So if you're having this pain and you're having these struggles and you feel like things aren't right and you feel like just really stressed out and overwhelmed and I don't know if I can do this anymore and you just want to cry, or you are crying, as it was in my case, reach out to get lactation support. I always like to say, don't quit on your worst day, because there really is support out there. And a lot of times it can just be, and I've seen this so many times too, it really can just be minor adjustments in positioning or latch. We just have to teach you a couple of minor things that can just make a world of difference. So if you're having just any type of like overwhelming emotions, please don't hesitate to reach out for support, because we really can help you and we can find like what's going to work for you, and we can find that customized plan, and we can help you. We can help you make it better and more enjoyable for you and your baby.
Love that. Now, is it, weird question, but is it possible okay. that if you did not successfully breastfeed with your first, that you could have more success next time around, or even like vice versa? Maybe the first time was great. Is there a possibility that the second time might not be as successful?
Yes. Yes and yes. I have to share this story because it's so amazing. And this is a recent story. Recently had a client, she was having her third baby, and she came for a prenatal consult, 36, 37 weeks pregnant. And she was like, I just didn't successfully breastfeed with my first two. I think one, she exclusively pumped for a short amount of time. The other one, I think she breastfed for a week. It just was not working. And so we went through some of the things that we've talked about today, some of these latch things, the skin to skin, really bonding with the baby and just learning and letting baby figure it out, but letting mom figure it out, all the things that we've talked about so far. And I think the baby's probably about 6 weeks old now, but she reached out a couple of weeks ago and she said, I'm exclusively breastfeeding. This is so amazing. I I'm so beyond thankful for your support and your guidance. And this was incredible. And I get chills, like just sharing that little story because it's, yes, like that's what we're here for. We're here to help support you and guide you and to really to give you the tools necessary for you to have your successful breastfeeding journey, whatever that looks like for you, because everybody is individual. And then yes, there are other situations where you successfully breastfed with the first and then the second, it's a little bit different and you have more struggles. And that could be related to so many different things. It could be the labor and delivery was different. Things maybe got off to a more rough start with the second delivery, or there's so many different things that could happen with that too. So yes, that is unfortunately a case. Not always. We don't see that as often as we do, like the first story that I was telling you where, you know, with the second kid, mom may breastfeed a little bit easier and more successfully.
Well, very awesome. Thank you for that. So here's a little kind of sidebar, and you had mentioned earlier that you had suffered with some irritation initially with breastfeeding. Now, are there some tips and tricks that you've got for moms to help avoid things like mastitis and irritation and infection from breastfeeding? And should we opt for pharmaceutical solutions or natural? How do you attack concerns like that?
Yep. So there are. I preferred the reusable breast pads for when you're leaking because I had the cracked and bleeding nipples and the disposable ones were sticking to it and it was so painful. And it's cheaper. You just throw them in the wash with the load of baby clothes or whatever. And it's just, to me, it was so much easier. You can buy a big pack of them on Amazon. Like, it's just so much easier to use the reusable ones. And as far as having the, let's say you are having cracked and bleeding nipples, we'll go down that route for a second. I ended up actually having to get a prescription called all-purpose nipple ointment. I would say use that as a last resort. Prior to that, you can try to express just a couple drops of breast milk and you can try to rub that in for a little bit of soothing support. That doesn't work. You can try some coconut oil just to help soothe some of the irritation. If your nipples are cracked and bleeding to the point where you just don't feel like you can latch baby and you haven't been able to get your lactation support yet, you know, let's say you're waiting for a couple of days, as it was in my case, I had to wait about 2 days. I actually gave the nipple that was having the most difficult time and that hurt the worst, I actually gave that one a break. And so I fed primarily on one side and then just pumped exclusively on the other side for a couple of days, because in those first couple of weeks when you're establishing your milk supply, not feeding will really hurt your milk supply. And so you're going to want to make sure that you're removing the milk very frequently, 2, 2.5 hours, something like that, to protect your milk supply for the weeks ahead. So yes, the reusable nursing pads, the expressing a little bit of breast milk for soothing, coconut oil, or if you really need to, all-purpose nipple ointment. One other thing is there's actually these, and it's made by Medela, little gel nursing pads. And I actually put them in the freezer and got them really cold. And so I would just take them out after I were feeding and I would just place them inside of my bra and on my nipple. And it just felt so good. And it was like so soothing. And then I did have a reusable nursing pad on top of that because I was leaking so much milk. So yes, you can combine both of those together, but you put the gel nursing pad and then the reusable nursing pad on top of that. So those were so helpful and so soothing.
Cool. Now, other than dialing down technique, are there things that we can do preventatively to avoid things like irritation? Should we be putting on something like coconut oil just after regular feedings as prevention for irritation? What other things can we do?
I would say that you don't necessarily need that. Now, if you want to use the gel nursing pads, that's totally fine to put, especially for the first couple of weeks when you're just having that minor soreness, which really that should actually go away after about the first week. You know, everybody's different, but you could use those. I really wouldn't say to use the coconut oil or anything, or the APNO, the all-purpose nipple ointment, unless you're really having a lot of issues. And as far as other ways to prevent it, really that would be improving the latch and improving baby's position. And like we were talking about earlier, when you get that nipple far enough back in baby's mouth and they're hitting the soft palate, you really shouldn't experience a ton of pain or soreness, or definitely not cracked and bleeding nipples. And so once again, if you feel like you're struggling with that and you are continuing to have this pain or you are continuing to have cracked and bleeding nipples, reach out for lactation support. We can definitely assess, and even virtually, we can assess like your positioning and how baby's latched on. You might have to adjust the camera a couple of funky ways. We can do that virtually as well. And I think that will make a world of difference.
Very cool.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. I'm always prevention minded, so always curious about that. Now, are there ways that our partner can provide support to a breastfeeding mom?
Yes. And I've heard this and I've seen this so much just on social media. And my partner doesn't want me to breastfeed all the time. He really wants to give a bottle. He wants to be involved in the feeding and all that. So to that, I say, don't worry. He or she will be involved in the feeding for sure. Just you have to give it a little bit of time until breastfeeding is established really well before you start introducing bottles. Usually that's somewhere around 4 to 6 weeks. It depends on, does mom go back to work? Does she, you know, want to give baby a bottle? Does she have the need for that? Are they going on date night soon? You know, depends on a lot of different things. But I would say in the first few weeks when you're establishing breastfeeding, and I'll just share with you what my husband and I did, let's say it's been 4 hours, because in the first couple of weeks, you don't want them to go at night for longer than a 4-hour stretch without feeding or removing some milk that will damage your milk supply. And so what my husband and I would do is, let's say it's been the 4-hour mark, he would go and wake my daughter up as I'm like groggily, like waking up as best that I can. And I would get comfortable and positioned with my pillows and stuff. And my husband would go and wake her up and get her undressed and change her diaper, get her ready to feed. And then he'd bring her to me. And sometimes she would feed, sometimes not. This is within the first few weeks, depending on how hungry she was and all that. And we would feed her, and then he would change her and get her back dressed. And I'd go to the bathroom or finish up what I needed. And then he would also make sure that I had like my pumping stuff. Let's say it's been a few weeks and now you need to start pumping because you're going to go back to work. Then at night, or really any time during the day, your partner can support you by getting your pumping supplies ready. They can help clean, or they can help move the milk from the bottle to the bags to freeze, and they can write dates on it. There are so many different ways that, you know, these little things that your partner can do for you to really help you, so that mom doesn't feel like, oh my gosh, all this weight is on my shoulders and I just want to rest, or I'm so tired, or all the things that go on in the first few weeks as a new postpartum mom. And just having your partner help out with those little things can really just make a big difference. And then eventually your partner will be able to feed your baby a bottle of breast milk later on down the line.
Very cool. Is there really, truly a benefit to extended breastfeeding? So breastfeeding past 6 months, past a year. I hear sometimes 2 years is some you ideal in which you should be mm-hmm. breastfeeding to. Is that true? What should we?
Yeah. So the AAP, the American Academy of Pediatrics, does recommend breastfeeding up to a year. And yes, there is definitely so many benefits to extended breastfeeding. And I always like to remind moms, if they're like, my kid's 2 years old and still breastfeeding, they're not going to be breastfeeding when they're 20. They're not going to be breastfeeding into teenage or adulthood. Trust me, they're going to want their independence. At some point, they are going to want to be independent. Yes. And I actually breastfed my first daughter until she was 2 years old. I had gotten pregnant and I was like, I need 6 months of at least my boobs to myself, because my body was all taken up with the second baby. And so I breastfed her until she was 2. And then I breastfed my other daughter until she was about 2.5. Sometimes she's still, I want some mommy's milk. And I'm like, sorry, hon, there ain't no more in there. But she's like, try. And I'm like, you can try, but you're not going to get anything. Sometimes it's just kind of fun just to see all the toddler gymnastics and the different positions that they're going to decide that all of a sudden they want mommy's milk and they want to breastfeed in. And so that's just the little cute aspect. But the more, I guess, scientific benefits, if you will, is there's that additional bonding. And so you get in the toddler world, there's not very many quiet moments, especially when they're 1, 2 years old, but you get like that quiet few minutes of, you know, them just sitting there, and it's just, oh, I can just sit back and picture it now, like just sitting there for that 5 minutes and just looking into my daughter's eyes and just being like, yes, like you're my kid and I'm still feeding you. And this is so incredible. So there's just that additional bonding time with it. And then the breast milk, it continues to make nutrients and antibodies and all the things, even for your toddler. So there is plenty of nutritional benefit. They get hydration from it too. So let's say they don't want to drink cow's milk or whatever, then they still get hydration from it. And of course, by 1 year old, they're typically drinking some water out of a sippy cup or something like that. But it's just additional hydration and antibodies and very much nutritional benefit to extended breastfeeding, as well as the bonding aspect of it.
Perfect. Love that. Thank you. So this is, in fact, the Strong Moms Fitness Podcast. So I wanted to talk a little bit about exercise and breastfeeding. And is it okay for moms that are breastfeeding to engage in high intensity exercise? And does exercise really have an effect on maybe the quality of milk or breastfeeding at all?
So you can breastfeed and exercise. Obviously, I would say wait for the first 6 weeks. Your body and you will discuss with your provider as far as when you can resume, you know, your exercise and the intensity that you resume at after your labor and delivery. But it doesn't affect breastfeeding at all. So you can work out. The only thing that you might want to consider, especially if you are making a lot of milk and your breasts feel very heavy, You want to make sure you have a really good supportive, but at the same time, don't make sure that it's not too tight so that it's not occluding like your milk ducts and stuff, because then that could lead to a clogged duct and mastitis and stuff, which I know we very briefly touched on earlier. I feel like that stuff could just be like a whole, there could be so many different podcast episodes based out of breastfeeding stuff. I could go on and on about all these things. However, we have a limited amount of time. And yeah, we just make sure you have a good supportive bra and work out. Do that thing for you that's really going to make you feel better about yourself, which will in turn help your mental health as a new mom, and you'll be able to enjoy that bonding time more with your baby.
Cool. Thank you. Appreciate that. So coming into the health realm, I wanted to talk about nutrition and hydration, diet. So are there specific macronutrients, micronutrients that we should be sure to include in our diet? Or is there a certain amount of calories extra we should strive for? And should we be like hydrating like crazy? What's your best advice for making sure that we are getting the proper nutrition to support breastfeeding?
So the actual additional calorie recommendation is only 500 calories a day. So that could be 500 calories that you get from the chocolate bar, or five of them. I don't even know how many calories are in a chocolate bar. I don't eat them very often. But when you're having that additional 500 calories, that's a whole other topic. I'll refrain. you're saying I need that extra 500 calories, make sure that it's nutrient-dense food. Make sure that it's protein-packed and that it's going to benefit your body and give, especially if you've decided to resume exercise, that way that those protein-packed and the nutrient-dense foods will help your body, not only from recovery, but from labor and delivery, also when you're working out too. So really, that'd be my biggest recommendation as far as food, is just make sure that it's high protein and that it's like good food for you. And then as far as the hydration, drink, like there's no really amount of like additional water that you should have. You should drink to thirst. There's no need to like overhydrate. You'll see a lot of myths floating around on the internet about drinking like sugary drinks and all this stuff, and that's going to help your supply and blah, blah, blah. There's a lot to say or maybe not say about that. I would really just stick with water, and then just if you feel thirsty, drink. So if you need an extra 30 ounces in the day, drink your extra 30 ounces, like whatever you need. Your body, and there's been lots of studies on this, even if you are not drinking as much as you should, your body is going to continue to make breast milk as long as you're removing the milk. So there really is no like specific amount of water that you would need to make enough breast milk. Put that in quotes and finger quotes.
Very cool. Thank you. I appreciate that. There's probably a lot of myths and misinformation when it comes to, you know, nutrition and breastfeeding. So I want to thank you for that. And yeah, I was hoping you could take some time here to go into some detail on how women can work with you. Like, how do you work with women specifically? And do you work online or do you work in person? And how can people find you and stalk you on social media?
I love that. Stalk me. Yes, please. Please stalk me on Instagram at Kinda Crunchy Shay. And the way that you can work with me is mostly virtual. If you are local to the area, which is Gainesville, Georgia, then you can send me a message and we can work something out. But I mostly just work virtual and we can do, I just offer one-on-one support right now. And so you have the option of a 60-minute breastfeeding support session, or I have a 4-month unlimited package, which I have found that there's a big barrier to moms needing additional follow-up breastfeeding support and they can't get it because their insurance only covers a certain amount or whatever it is, they don't have the money for an additional follow-up appointment. So what I've done is I've actually just created a 4-month unlimited package where everything is built in. So you pay one price and you get me for free. You have unlimited tech support via HIPAA compliant Google Hangout. And then we can have, I've built in up to 8 60-minute breastfeeding sessions, also HIPAA compliant with Google Meet. And I've got all that set up in the scheduler and everything. And so those are the two ways that you can work with me. We've also started offering a breastfeeding support group, which is virtual and it's free. And I think you guys have the link for that in the show notes. So we do that once a month, the first Wednesday of every month. Our next one is coming up December 1st at 11 a.m. Eastern time. And then after that, it will just be the first Wednesday of every month. And eventually we will be offering prenatal support groups. That's in the works. I'm so excited about that.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to link to everything, including your Instagram, all that website, all that good stuff. So people will be able to check you out, your one-on-one plan. So that sounds really cool and probably very intriguing to a lot of moms out there, especially in the day and age where sometimes virtual is just easier, more convenient, and
less
takes
germs.
Away some of the hassle of like, I know travel is just heck for everybody. So that probably sounds like ideal for most moms, especially breastfeeding. So I want to thank you so much for joining me today on the Strong Moms Fitness Podcast, Shay. You just shed so much light on such a confusing topic, which, you know, it's supposed to come naturally, but there's a lot of things that aren't spoken about. So I really want to thank you for just sharing that with us today on the podcast.
Absolutely. And you said it exactly. So many of us think that it's just going to come naturally. And a lot of times it just is these minor tweaks that we can do. And then sometimes there are other things that you just need additional support for, and that's okay. And it's okay to get support. And so thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad I could share all my knowledge with your audience. I'm so excited and I'm so passionate about teaching moms to breastfeed and really working with them on the bonding experience, and that it can be such a great time.
Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, so many knowledge bombs dropped by Shay today. So I want to thank you for hanging around and listening to this. I know that lactation is something that a lot of women struggle with. Sometimes you just need a little bit of help to get you on track. So if you are interested in learning more, I have included in the show notes everything about stalking Shay and what she does. Thanks so much for joining me on the Strong Moms Fitness Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you next time on the Strong Moms Fitness Podcast. Now remember, go subscribe so that you are the first to know as soon as new episodes drop. Also, be sure you don't miss out on your chance to win a free program of your choice from Strong Moms Fitness. All you have to do is leave a 5-star review, screenshot it before you submit, and send it to daisy@strongmomsfitness.com. Your review helps other people find our show. And as a thank you, once a month, we choose the review that makes us all warm and tingly inside and award that lucky lady a free program of their choice. So do it now. It could be you. See you next time, you badass mom, you.